Now tonight, while I was sitting there, the Lord spoke to me, changed my sermon. That's kind of frightening. After I'd studied all day and had my notes ready, he said, no, that's not it. And I'm going to read to you tonight from the second chapter of the book of Acts, starting at the 17th verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Now God said this. God said, in the last days it will come to pass, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Thank God he mentioned the old men in that. That blesses me. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor or pillars of smoke, as it says in Joel. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for this prophetic word. This word, Simon Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and quoted that and said, this is what was happening then. Now that was 2,000 years ago, and that was the beginning of the end. But today we are really in the last days. These are winding up days, folks. I'm telling you, awesome things are going to happen and are happening. And the world is getting shaped up for incredible things to happen. And God said that in those last days, I will pour out my spirit. If Peter could say he was in the last days, we know we're in the last days now. We're in the end. That was the beginning of the end. We're at the end of the end. We're at the end of the end. We're coming down to the final signs of the times. And God said he would pour out his spirit, and great things are going to happen. Powers of darkness are going to envelop this world and are enveloping the world. And when you think of the atomic weapons that the nations of the earth have and how we're trying our best to stop them from multiplying, but they're not going to stop them. They are going to get them. All the nations are going to have them, and they're going to be used. We're the ones that started. We used the atomic bomb in World War II. We just celebrated a few days ago the ending of World War II. And the surrender of the Japanese after we dropped two atom bombs on them. The atom bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August the 6th and the 8th of 1945. The first bomb we dropped in Hiroshima killed about 80,000 people instantly. 80,000. It wiped the city off the earth. A ball of fire just involved that city, and 80,000 people, a city of 80,000, evaporated. People just were instantly destroyed. The heat of the sun. The senator stood up right here in the U.S. Senate at that time and said, all the senators should go out and take a look at the sun and realize that the heat of the sun is about to be recreated on this earth. Take a look at the sun, he said, before you make any laws, because that's what's going to happen. And we did it. So don't think they're not going to be used, because we did it. We did it. We dropped in the next bomb. The one on Hiroshima was a little less, a different style atom bomb, and was a little less powerful. About 60 so thousand were killed. That was an atom bomb. Today we have hydrogen bombs that are incredible. To destroy five or six of them would take the British Isles right off the earth. There would be no more British Isles. Maybe six of them would destroy the British Isles. It's the power that these weapons have. The destructive force is incredible. And now we have guided missiles to take these bombs over. And we have enough to destroy the world. America and Russia have enough. We could destroy the world with the thousands of, we have several thousands of them. I did know how many thousands. I don't remember exactly how many, but we have, nobody knows maybe exactly, but the officials. But we know we have thousands of them. And we have the weapons to destroy the world over and over. We can destroy the whole world. And wicked men have these weapons in their hands. Now, do you know what's holding it back? The grace of God is just holding it back. Just God's grace. Now, Iran is going to get the bomb. We know that. They're going to get it. They'll keep working. We're trying to stop them because, and they've said they will destroy Israel. They've said it. We might suffer badly, but just one or two of these bombs would take Israel off the earth. God isn't going to let that happen because they're his people. But there's going to be tremendous things happening, and God is holding it back. But he's holding it back that we can see a revival, and we've got to be ready. And whether we don't know, I don't know just when it's all going to happen, but the Middle East is getting ready for a real explosion. Now, God, I'm not here to frighten you, but I want you to be alarmed and already. Don't sleep in this hour. This is the most traumatic hour of human history since Jesus Christ came and since the early church. We're at the climax now. Now, God wants to pour out his Spirit. And we've got to seek God to raise up a generation of young people and men and women and older people, as it said, that are really on fire for God, that are going to stand up at this hour for the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that we are not accustomed to. Let's get ourselves adjusted. God warned us a few years ago, just 10 years ago, when the World Trade Center came down. It's a warning to this country. It's a warning. Were they worse people that died in the World Trade Center than other people? No. Jesus said that in his gospel. No, they weren't. Their destruction came early to set a warning to this city and to our country. Now, folks, it's time for us to seek God. Sitting here tonight, God said, don't preach the sermon that you prepared. God wants to raise up a generation of young people that are filled with power and the anointing. And he said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit in these last days. There'll be signs in the sky. Yes, there will be. Signs are around us. But God said, when you see these things, I want to pour out my Spirit. I am going to call up a generation. Folks, God is going to have an army. Hallelujah. He is going to have an army in his last days. While the world is getting ready for destruction, God is going to give us a revival. God is going to pour out his Spirit. And we had revivals some 100 years ago at the Azusa Street, and 80 years ago we had great revivals, but God is going to do great things again. And I'm calling on the young people to seek God. He wants to call up an army of young people and fill them with the Holy Spirit and anoint the people with mighty power. The church in America is a little cool, but God is going to awaken it up. And God is going to stir us up. It's lukewarm. But God is going to give us young people that are on fire for God, that are listening to the voice of God, and men and women that are listening. And God will do great things in these hours. He said, I will pour out my Spirit. Now, what should we do? We've got to pray and seek God that we are among that number that he's talking about. That we're part of it. Now, the pastor is having prayer meeting, and he's on 1010. The pastor's on 1010 wins right here in this city. calling the people to pray. He called a prayer at the square and asked the churches. We had 200 or 300 churches and a lot of people praying. That's not the end of it. The Spirit is calling us to pray. He's calling us to seek on God. He's calling us to really get down to business and call on God with all of our heart. I'm asking you to get out to this prayer meeting on Thursday. Now, we've got to get up in the mornings. The Holy Spirit has told me, get up in the mornings. I'm getting up early in the mornings and praying and seeking God. And He's calling on others all over this country and around the world to seek God, because while Satan is planning on destruction, God is planning on an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Satan is counting on bringing us down, and the power, but God is counting on us, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to us tonight that we're going to really get into prayer and calling on God in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying with all of our heart, getting a hold of God. That you, God, hold it back till we see the revival. God, we ask you that we can be part of your answer in this last hour, that we are part of it. Hallelujah. While the forces of darkness are closing in this country and around the world, and the whole world, there's so much going on, getting ready for world government. It's the world communications. Everything is the world. Getting ready for the Antichrist. Getting ready for one religion, one world. But God said in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I will. I will. He said, let's say, I will. He said, I will pour out my Spirit. Now the question is, are you going to be part of it? I am asking God that I can be part of it in this hour. He wants you to be part of it. Make up your mind. I am going to seek God. It's an hour to lay aside every weight. It's an hour to lay aside every hindrance. It's an hour to seek God and to see the mighty things that God will do by His Spirit in this last hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not church as usual. We don't need church as usual. We need the Holy Spirit's power. We need the anointing. We need the word from God to come to us. Hallelujah. He's going to call out young folks. And I tell you, He's going to call out young folks with power and anoint you with the Holy Spirit and lead you and guide us and to be evangelists and to be pastors and to see signs and wonders and to do great things in His name. It's not, we read the stories of the last generation of Pentecost and the great things. God took the humble people and shook this world. Praise God. It's millions have been saved by the outpouring. But now we are right at the end and we've got to see another outpouring. We have to see another move of God. The outpouring of 100 years ago and 70 years ago and 80 years ago is not enough. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need another revival. We need a renewing. We need a new calling out of God. I think of the folks that God called out and the mighty things He did. Just think, just the Assemblies of God alone in a few years, will, if God tarries and it keeps growing the way it is, just the Assemblies of God alone, one Pentecostal group will be the third largest Protestant denomination in the world. Right, just with hundreds, you know, with millions and millions of the Pentecostals have gotten saved. Think of what God has done around the world. He took these small, humble people and shook the world. But we're in another hour. And we need another generation of young people and other people and older ones as well that are going to see God's power and seek Him for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that we are going to believe God to do stand up in this hour, in the darkest hour of this world, that the light is going to shine. There's young people that God is calling out to be missionaries, to still go. It's not over. The harvest is great. There's countries that are going to open up in these last hours that have never heard the gospel, that have got to hear the gospel. It's going to go to the ends of the earth before Jesus comes. He said he's coming any day, but it's gone to most of the world, but there's still nations that need the gospel. Especially the Islamic world. I am praying for a revival to strike the Islamic world, the nations of Islam that are killing the Christians in Saudi Arabia, and there's other countries that kill the Christians. When you get converted from Islam, you're supposed to be killed, and you are killed. But we're going to ask God to break the power of Islam and break the power of Islam. Break the power of Islam over those nations and let the gospel of Jesus Christ go into those countries. Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for God. There's no power in this world too great for the Almighty. There's no power of Islam or Buddha or anything else or modernism or atheism or the atheist of our schools are not a match for God Almighty. Hallelujah. We're serving a mighty God. And he's going to call up young people, and fill you with the Holy Spirit and anoint older people. I think, you know why I'm here? My mother was 50-some years old, living in North Carolina. I'm from Connecticut originally, but she moved back among her folks, and they gave her a house and gave her a home. You've heard me tell the story. And there she was in her 50s praying. And God said, leave everything and go north. And she went north, packed her trunk and headed north, not knowing where she would go. Went to Connecticut, back to where we'd come from, and ministered around there. And finally, coming to Billy Roberts, my sister did, to Billy Roberts in Harlem at 125th Street. And a lady invited her over to a little storefront in Brooklyn. And she saw this little store in 18th Avenue and Avenue F in McDonald's, right there, the second store. It was a slum during the war. And she saw these handful of mostly converted Catholics, and the pastor was abusing some of the girls, and it was a mess. She said, my mother needs to come here. My mother went there, and God said, stay here. And she stayed and went and slept in the back room. Now she's left her home, left everything. And there she is sleeping in the back room. I don't know how she lived those years, but somehow or another people brought her food and she survived praying. It was my last year of Bible school. I went to see my mother and she met me in this slum store. As I went down to see her, it got worse and worse. And there was an old dump I said, where in the world has my mother come to now? My land, what in the world? What a place this is. And the store stunk and it was terrible. And my mother greeted me like she was living in Fifth Avenue. She smiled from ear to ear and says, God's going to do great things here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he did. Hallelujah. And he did. But you know, she had to listen. I graduated from school and she said, I think God could use you in Brooklyn. And we went there and we slept in the store and my mother in the back room. We had nowhere to live and we had no money. But somehow or another, we got a few dollars. We lived, we survived. And God, they turned the mission over to us. And God sent a revival and saved hundreds and thousands of people. But a woman said, God spoke to her and says, leave your home. And God's going to speak to you. And he spoke to me. Folks, I'm the most unlikely person in this building to be standing here. You don't believe that tonight, but believe me, I had such an inferiority complex, no father, raised so poor, so I was so afraid to speak. I never spoke in Bible school till my last year, and the Holy Spirit came on me and took the fear of people away from me. I stood up to speak, and the power of God came on me, and I began to speak. I am the most unlikely person, and God can take this man in here tonight, a young man, a young woman, and anoint you with the Holy Spirit and do what you never dreamed of doing. Hallelujah. Here I am speaking here tonight, the most unlikely person. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can come upon you, and God can take the weak things of the world and confound the mighty. He is Jesus Christ. He wants to do great things in this generation. And there's no, what he did a few years ago, he's going to do greater things. We haven't seen it all. We haven't seen all God can do. He did mighty things a few years ago, but I have news for you. God Almighty is going to do greater things in these very last hours. He's going to raise up a generation. He's going to call young men and women out of this church. Hallelujah. And I thank God for the missions program, but some of you are going to go and stay and see God do great things. He's calling you. He's calling people tonight. He's talking. He's speaking. If you are going to listen, I want you to be the one that listens. He'll take the most unlikely people in this place. Hallelujah. And anoint you with the Holy Spirit and shake a city and shake a country. Thank you, Jesus. We're serving a mighty God tonight. What should we do? The call is to prayer. Let's get into seeking God with an earnestness. Turn loose of everything. Turn loose of whatever's holding you back. Whatever it is that's keeping you from the anointing and from God's plan. Make yourself available. God will touch your life and call you out and send you and do mighty things. What he's done with others in the past. He called Pastor Dave to this city and look what he's done. But he's going to call other people to great cities, and he's going to call other people, and he's going to call another generation. And I'm speaking tonight from the Lord. He is calling young men and young women in this congregation and in this church to commit themselves to God. He's calling this church to a prayer. He's calling us to lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight and everything that hinders you, and really get the anointing and the filling of His Spirit and walk with God and let Him see what God will do in your life and in your surroundings and with your family. God is calling us. He said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. But it's going to be people that are seeking Him. We're going to make that decision. Are you going to be part of that crowd? Are you going to be one of those that hears His voice? I think of Lillian Trasher. I tell her story. You say, well, you've heard told her story before. Yeah, I've told it before, but I've told the stories in this Bible many times too. Lillian Trasher. Lillian Trasher was an outstanding story, a young lady, and was called to go to Egypt. I remember hearing her right here in the city over here at 33rd Street at Glad Tidings, where I heard Lillian Trasher. What a story. This young lady was engaged to be married, but she told her boyfriend, I'm called to Egypt. And he said, well, I'm not called to Egypt. So she never got married. But she went to Egypt. She gave her motherhood to God, never got married, went to Egypt, Esiut, down on the Nile. I flew over that place years ago, and when I was in flying through Egypt, and she went to this little place with these missionaries, this city down on the Nile, way down in the central of Egypt, and she was with a couple, a missionary couple, and she saw this baby thrown out on the street. She had a heart of a mother. She couldn't pass that baby by. She took the baby home. It was thrown out to die. Took the baby home, nursed that baby, got up at night. Every time the baby cried, got up at night, fed that baby. Wasn't long before she saw another baby. And she had two or three babies, and she had four or five in this house. And the missionary that was where she was staying said to her, we aren't here to hear these crying babies. You'll have to get out. We can't have all this. I don't know who they were. I really don't even want to know who they were. And said to her, you got to get out. So Lillian said, or get rid of the baby. She said, no, I can't get rid of these babies. She had the heart of Jesus in her. She rented a house, a single woman, down in Egypt, in Esiut, and took these babies. And the first thing you know, the house was full of babies. Because there were so many folks found that she'd take them, they were going to kill, baby was going to starve, they'd bring them to her. She kept them, and God raised up workers, and she just kept expanding and praying and trusting God. And she, when I heard her tell the story, about 24 years, and when she ate breakfast, she never had the night's meal. And when she ate the night's meal, she didn't have breakfast. But she never missed a meal in 24 years. Always the breakfast came, and always the night meal came. Always came. But she just never had two meals. Then God expanded the work. And it grew and grew till royalty from England, when they went down to Egypt, visiting Egypt, came to see her. And Sister Trasher took them through the place. And when they were finished, she said, "I hope I haven't offended you folks," because she said, "I'm not accustomed to royalty. I really don't even know how to conduct myself with royalty." They said to Sister Trasher, they said, "Let me tell you, we're the ones that should worry about how we acted with you. You shouldn't worry about acting how you treated us. We should worry about how we treated you. You're such a woman of God." Hallelujah. What a woman. What a woman. She said that she got all these young folks to come in, but she could never trust one of them with the babies. She's an older woman now. She said, "I always slept with the babies." Because, she said, they'd sleep through, and the children would cry, the babies would cry, and they wouldn't hear them. But she said, "Never a baby cried that I didn't hear it. Never a baby cried that I didn't get up in the night and take care of that baby." It was such a heart. She was the mother of 1,000 children. 1,000 children. 1,000. She'd go visit her grandchildren. And the grandchildren would say to the grandfather, "But she don't look like us." She said, "Never mind what she looks like. She's your grandmother." I was lost. I was dying. I was starving. And she took us in with the heart of God. God wants Lillian Trashers out of this audience that care about children and care about people. God wants great men and great people. He wants to raise up other men like David Wilkerson and Billy Graham and others. He wants to raise them up out of this generation, folks. But God is calling us. It's time to hear. He wants to touch your life and do with it what you never dreamed could be done. As a light at this last hour, you were predestined by God to live in this hour. I used to think I lived in the wrong hour. I did. I thought I'm living at the wrong time. I went to school, and I loved history. I wasn't crazy about school, but I did enjoy history. I loved history, and the early American history, I just loved it. When they went across this country, the prairies, and they was discovering the West, and there was no school, and they were just going all the time, I just thought, this is wonderful. I should have been then. I should have lived into 49. I should have been back then. That's when I should have been here. I should have lived back in the 49ers. This is no good. Everything is California, just like everything else. I don't belong here now. And then I got saved, and I got reading about Pentecost, and I read about the great revival, hallelujah, that came to Azusa Street, and the great outpouring. And I thought, man, I missed it. I should have been here in 1906. I missed it. I missed Azusa Street, and I missed it. And then I realized that I'm living in the greatest hour. This is God's hour right now. Hallelujah. And I am here by divine destiny. And you are here. You did not choose this hour, but God has predestined you to live in the most challenging hour of human history in this great city, the greatest city of the world. Folks, let's seek God. I beg of you tonight, let's seek God. Let's seek Him with everything there is within us. Let's ask God to have mercy on this city. Give us the greatest revival in the Northeast that's ever come. Let's join with the pastor's prayer. Let's seek God with everything there is within us. Let's get a hold of God. Lay aside the weights. I beg you tonight, listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord. He's calling us to prayer. He's calling us to seek God. This is the hour. This is the hour. He's calling up another generation. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send out laborers into the harvest field. God knows the fields are ripe with harvest. Our high schools need revival. Our universities in this city need revival. Our churches need to stir. We need a revival. We need power. We need the anointing to come upon us. We need to see the power of darkness broken and to see lives set free. We need to see the captive set free. And we want God's power. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it. We are no match for the devil. But the Holy Spirit of God, you've got the answer. Father, you said you would pour out your Spirit in the last days. And we tonight are going to pray for a revival in New York City. God, send us a revival. I'm going to ask the pastor to call us down, to come down here and pray tonight and wind this meeting up with a prayer that God send us a revival. We can't do it. We're no match for the television. We're no match for what's going on. We're no match for Satan's power. But God is a match tonight. And the Holy Spirit is the answer tonight. And we're asking him and bring us down, Pastor, and let us come and pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, as I was just sitting there and just listening to Pastor share tonight, I was looking down further in the same chapter, and you know, the scripture says that all the believers devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper as we did tonight, and to prayer. They spent time in prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. And tonight I want to, you know, just like the Holy Spirit has been challenging us, I've been hearing that call. I've been hearing it for some time now, and it's been intensifying in my own life. And even this week as I was praying for the young people this past Friday, I felt the Lord saying, you need to call. We have a prayer meeting for our young people at 2 o'clock on Sundays. Sometimes you might come in and you might hear young people crying out between 2 and 2:45 right in the lower lobby. That's every Sunday. But I felt like God saying, you need to call them to prayer even more on Fridays. And so there are going to be some Friday nights where we're going to turn our youth meeting into a prayer meeting because God is saying it's time to pray. This is what the Lord spoke to me on Friday. Before the youth meeting on Friday, and then I come tonight and I hear again that call by the Spirit of God to prayer. Lord, folks, this is the Holy Spirit. He's saying, trim your lamps. Go out to meet the bridegroom. We are to be found with oil in our lamps. We don't want to be numbered among the foolish virgins tonight, folks. We don't want to be numbered among the foolish. I hear the call. I trust you hear the call tonight as well. Maybe you're a prayer warrior already. Well, I'm telling you, God's wanting to take this to another level. He's wanting to take your devotion, your prayer life to another level. That's what I feel God speaking to my heart. But there are some things we may need to let go tonight. There's some folks here tonight, God is saying this is in the way and that's in the way and this is in the way of your prayer time. And so tonight, the challenge, the invitation is to come to this altar and to lay those things down. The grace is available. The grace is available right now. The scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him call on God. This is the time, folks. Let's stand quietly and reverently all over this place. And if you sense that calling, that call to surrender tonight, I want to invite you to get out of your seat. Come to the front. We're going to turn this meeting into a prayer meeting tonight, and we're going to begin to seek the face of God. We're going to seek God for his power, for his Holy Spirit, for his anointing, for our loved ones, for our neighbors, for our co-workers, for his name's sake, that his name might be glorious in this generation tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join these that are coming in the balcony in the annex. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. This is a divine moment, folks, a divine moment. This is not church as usual. This is a divine moment. God's raising up intercessors, intercessors, men and women, young people that will know how to pray through, that will touch God, and God through their lives will begin to touch earth. He'll touch folks. Hallelujah. We're going to worship, and then we're going to go to prayer, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, we cry out to you tonight. Hallelujah, Lord, we come to you tonight. We yield everything. God, every weight, every distraction. God, every other love, every rival throne tonight, we yield it to you. God, we yield it to you. We acknowledge it before you. God, we acknowledge the conviction of your Holy Spirit. We acknowledge, Lord, all those things that are holding us back. Come on, folks, you begin to talk to him. You know what that thing is. You begin to lay it down right now. You lay it down. You begin to yield to him every dream, every other vision, every agenda that's not his agenda, his plan. You begin to yield to him right now. Just begin to talk to King Jesus. He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, God, we praise you, Jesus. Lord, for your name's sake, have your way in us. God, we thank you for calling us to prayer. We thank you, Lord, for calling us to go out and meet you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy on our families, Lord. I thank you that you want to save our family members. You want to save our coworkers. You want to save those in our communities, our neighbors. God, you're going to use us. You're going to use us to pray them through. You're going to use us to pray them into the kingdom. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of representing you in this generation. Thank you for the honor of standing up for Jesus. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that you've not left us alone. You said you would not leave us as orphans, but that you would come to us. You've come to us in the person of the Holy Ghost. God, we thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. We give you complete control tonight. We give you complete control of our lives, of our time, of our spare time. We give it all to you, oh God. Draw us after you, oh Lord. Draw us after you, God. God, we thank you and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Give him praise tonight. Hallelujah.